Today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. This is the story of Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus seeking safety in Egypt. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before I start my reflection, I just want to let you know that I'll be staying in the sanctuary afterwards for questions if people want to stay and discuss this issue that I'm presenting today. Through this past Advent season, our congregation explored the theme of the journey. We journeyed through Advent and towards Christmas, just as Mary and Joseph journeyed from Nazareth to Bethlehem. As we journeyed, we meditated on the themes of hope, joy, peace, and love while we prepared for the birth of the precious child, Jesus. But before Mary and Joseph could prepare, they needed to find a safe place to settle while she labored. Repeatedly, the needy couple was turned away by those who were unwilling to help them find safety and shelter, until they found that one innkeeper who was willing to extend them a small gesture of hospitality. Keith, if I could have that picture. While I was preparing for this Sunday and the proposal I'm bringing forward for a congregational vote next week on sponsoring a refugee family, I found a very timely and moving reflection on the theme of the journey and on welcoming the displaced into our midst, just like the innkeeper welcomed into his stable in Bethlehem Mary and Joseph and ultimately the infant Jesus 2 centuries ago. The reflection I found came in the form of an article and photos from the internet entitled "Mary, Joseph, and Baby Jesus Spotted Amongst Syrian Refugees." The photo you see here is of a Syrian refugee family in Hungary, taken last October 2015, by journalist and humanitarian David Dark, who spent time with Syrian refugees as they traveled, searching for safety. His writing and photos are powerful, and I've borrowed liberally from them through my reflection today. Our scripture reading today tells of an event soon after Christ's birth where King Herod, fearful of being deposed from his throne by Christ, King of the Jews, orders the murder of all young boys in the Bethlehem area. In desperation to save their son's life, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus escape to Egypt, where they live until Herod's death, as refugees. To be clear, Christ himself was a refugee. The Holy Family were refugees in the truest sense. They were forced to flee from their homeland because of the threat of imminent death. David Darg writes, "When I think of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt, I'm reminded of the picture, Rest on the Flight into Egypt, painted by Luke Oliver Marson." So that's the next picture. The 1879 painting is a depiction of the Holy Family as refugees sleeping under the stars in Egypt. A small fire burns while Mary and Joseph, clearly exhausted, sleep on pillows of stone. It's a quiet and moving piece that feels ancient somehow. As I looked it up today, he writes, "What struck me the most is, though it depicts a scene that happened 2,000 years ago, this scene is happening in our world today, right now. This is exactly how thousands of Syrian refugees are sleeping right now in Europe. The reason for the Syrians' flight into Europe isn't that different either. Just as Joseph and Mary were trying to protect the life of their child, most Syrian refugees are fleeing to try and give their children a future. Hundreds of thousands of refugees have made similar journeys, risking death at the hands of outlaws or any number of environmental dangers, imprisonment, or indefinite relocation to refugee camps. Many of the refugees have one simple goal, the same as Mary and Joseph had, the preservation of family." Time for some not so fun facts on Syria. There are 6.5 million displaced Syrians in the world. This is the same amount of people as the populations of Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba combined. 4 million of those people are refugees. This is the same as the entire population of Alberta. Turkey has taken in over 2 million Syrian refugees, Lebanon over 1 million, Jordan over 0.5 million. Other countries with over 100,000 include Egypt, Iraq, Serbia, and Germany. And when we think of the size of those countries as compared to Canada, we know that our country is much larger. Now, in the meantime, Jordan and Lebanon, who previously took displaced persons and refugees, have closed their borders to asylum seekers, so no more can enter. This particular statistic grabs me. 51.9% of Syrian refugees are children. 51.9%. 1 million children are in areas in Syria where aid workers are unable to reach them. More than one third of Syrian families are no longer living in their own homes. 40% of Syria's public hospitals are damaged or out of service. And one third of water treatment plants in Syria have been destroyed. We have an opportunity here in our congregation, in our community, in our country to help. The Canadian government is committed and already bringing Syrian refugees to Canada. And we can join others in our community in helping a family come to a place of safety. I believe it is our responsibility as Christians, persons of faith, to hear and accept that opportunity. It is a calling put forward in the Bible to welcome the stranger. For example, Exodus chapters 22 and 23. "Do not mistrust or oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be aliens because you were aliens in Egypt." This is in reference to the Jewish people who were enslaved in Egypt. Hebrews 13, verse 2. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And Matthew 25, 35 to 40. "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it for me. One category of the least of these is the stranger. The Gospel of Matthew was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word that we translate as stranger is xenos, which can be translated into English as foreigner, immigrant, or stranger. In other words, according to Matthew, when we don't welcome the foreigner, Jesus takes it personally. We are taught and instructed as Christians to welcome the stranger, as demonstrated in the various scripture readings we've just heard. And I can also hear some people's concerns and worries being voiced. What about safety? Will one of them turn out to be a terrorist? Why would we bring someone into Canada who might take one of our jobs when our economy isn't good? These are valid questions, and they do deserve reflection. And I would be more than willing to discuss concerns with people as they're presented. But the reality is that there will always be questions. No matter what risk we think about taking, there will always be unknowns. This doesn't mean that we don't take risks ever. This means that we think about what the pros and cons are and why we would take a risk. Why would we open our borders, our communities, our hearts to strangers? While I was preparing for this reflection, I had written a bunch of other things, and I was challenged to be upfront and transparent by Julia with all of you about why this issue of welcoming refugees to our community is so significant and important to me. So I scrapped the other things. I've thought about it a lot, and I'm still unsure of how to explain to you exactly why this is important. But here's a start. When I was a child, there were challenges in my family. My parents divorced. We moved a lot due to life circumstances, averaging about one move every 2 years. There was emotional stress. We struggled financially. Things were not usually easy. Life as a child for me was not carefree. At age 17, I left home and began to create and shape my adult life on my own. I've had successes and I've had failures. I've taken steps forward and I've taken steps backwards. I have continued to move a lot, never truly putting down roots anywhere, and trying to figure out life's ups and downs with a little bit of grace. I feel in the past few years that I've struggled with meaning in my life. Due to various losses, challenges, and plans that did not evolve as I'd hoped or expected, I've wrestled with the question of, is this all there is? I do have a decent job, a roof over my head, food to eat, and friends to share it with. But I kept saying, why? Why am I really here? Is this all there is? I was discussing this restlessness and dissatisfaction with Julia last year, and she challenged me to think more about what I'm passionate about. What gets me excited? I reflected on it for months, and the issue of the Syrian refugees hit the news in force. I began to follow it, more and more feeling so helpless yet so drawn to their plight. I took a course online on refugee sponsorship in Canada. I studied and learned and read and discussed. The issue was and is inspiring, desperate, overwhelming, and passionate for me. I'm not entirely sure why, but I feel like, in a way, it affects me because I know what it feels like to be a stranger. Not to the extent of a refugee from an unsafe country, but from the perspective of a scared child, starting over in a new place, feeling unsure of her place in the world, and unsure of those around her. Recognizing that at the root of it all, we are all the same. We are all scared children, looking for somewhere to belong and who to belong with. I came across a quote from Father Daniel Homan, who writes in his book, Radical Hospitality, "By our best and worst attempts at hospitality, we say to ourselves and the whole world, everything matters. You are not alone. You are more than you know. The awful thing is not the final word." Today is all we have, and today is enough. We need each other. This is the message of our gospel. This is the message that Jesus brings to us and directs us to share with each other, especially the stranger. There is hope amongst us and between us. Back to the reflection from David Dark on the refugee family we see in our photos. He writes, "With the painting still fresh in my mind, I decided to flip through the photos from my recent trip to Europe, where I stood at the border between Croatia and Hungary as thousands of refugees crossed on their journey to safety. One of the images jumped out at me. A Syrian father and mother carrying their young son, all of their possessions crammed into two small backpacks. They were in a long line of refugees waiting to board a train bound for Austria. In the chaos, I never got their names, but I remember how kind they were and how relieved they seemed at being near the end of their journey. At this stage, they would have been traveling for months, sleeping rough, eating sporadically, and exhausted. And yet, it was safer in Europe than where they had fled from, and that's all that mattered to them. Even the young boy smiled as he was carried in the dark. The aftermath of the Paris terrorist attacks continues to send shockwaves through global emotions. In response, politicians weigh in with their take on world events, along with condemnation of ISIS. A troubling anti-refugee rhetoric is beginning to be vocalized by various groups and people in the world. Oddly, some of this talk comes from peoples living in nations comprised almost solely of immigrants, such as the US and Canada. Dark continues, "When I look at this image, what I see is Mary, Joseph, and Jesus on their flight into Egypt. I don't see ISIS. I don't see terror. I see a young family in search of protection from those horrors. This is the family that has been refused welcome in some territories in our world. So to all of us considering whether or not these weary families should be turned away, I ask, would we have turned away Mary, Joseph, and Jesus too?"
We have much on which to reflect. We have much to pray for. Thank you. quietly, God. Let's do so now.
Yeah.